The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
I need you to knock some sense into me. I'm sure you can.
Yeah, I don't know.
I enjoy listening to you. I don't always agree with everything.
All right. Enough of this persiflage.
So, you want my question?
I'm certainly not going to get myself in trouble by telling you what to do.
That makes great sense. Gosh, that's good.
Did I overwhelm you with words and wisdom?
I've got 7 kids. I feel like I could call you every day.
Wait, you're telling me I'm wrong?
Yes, I am, Dr. Ray.
You just need to tune in to Dr. Ray, honey. He's got all the answers.
Am I right or am I right?
Probably.
Now, from the studios of Living Bread Radio Network in Canton, Ohio, the hometown of Mother Angelica, here's Dr. Ray.
I took an average. The number of calls that I get in any given 1 hour of this program is approximately double the number of calls that I got from girls in all of my college years. Yep. It's a great leap forward getting females to pay attention. But like college, they just want me to either do their math homework or comment on a situation in their life. Either way, I'm grateful for whatever attention I got or get. The program, if you want to add to the number of women who call me on a daily basis as opposed to college, 9 years of it, 877-573-7825, 877-57 equal. I'll get to all the reasons for that, but right now I just want to... Father Benedict Groeschel, he was a hero of mine, truly. Psychologist, priest and psychologist, got his PhD in psychology. He would have been 92 today. I admire the man. Up one side and down the other. Wrote 45 books, more than 100 audio and video series. He gave a retreat to Mother Teresa and her missionaries of charity. It goes on and on and on and on. He helped Mother Teresa establish her order in New York. He helped Father John Harvey set up Courage. He co-founded the Good Counsel Home for Homeless Pregnant Women. He and 7 other fellow Capuchins founded the Franciscan Friars. He said something once I thought was pretty profound. He said, some kids are born without much of a chance. And that's the reality. And you have to look at it as God will sort it out in the end. But I think that's a very, very fair statement to make. Very fair statement to make. Happy birthday, Father Benedict. Wonderful man. Made so much sense when he spoke. Oh, man, he made so much sense. 877-573-7825 is the number to call to get onto the program. If you have a question about something in your life that matters or doesn't matter, people, circumstances, situations, puzzlements, frustrations, anger, how to get along better with somebody, how to not get yourself so upset over the way somebody's behaving. There's no limit. There's no limit to all the situations humans can confront. If we put our heads together, maybe we can come up with an idea, a thought, solution, a nugget, something to help you. Obviously, this isn't therapy. I did that this morning. I do it this afternoon. I can't dive into all of the details and the wrinkles and the threads and everything that makes up motivations and behavior and emotions and conduct, but we can give a few ideas, a few thoughts, some education maybe, might nudge you in a different direction. 877-57-EQUAL is the number to call to get on to the program. My first book, and I've mentioned this before, was a book titled You're a Better Parent Than You Think. It was when I was a full-time psychologist at the Mental Health Center in Columbiana County in Ohio, Columbiana County was a very poor county. I have since found out that Route 30, which bisects Columbiana County, was the dividing line for President Johnson's war on poverty. Yeah, below Route 30, south of Route 30, was considered Appalachia. And yes, it was very poor. And I was there many, many years. And at some point, I became the go-to guy for parents. And one of the things that I saw, which I was not prepared to see from my grad school education, was the confusion, the insecurity, the lack of authority, the second guessing, the lack of confidence among otherwise very loving, good parents. They were trying so hard to be psychologically correct. You know, now that the experts are on the scene, we know so, so much better how to raise children because they're so much smarter than we lay parents. And I saw this, parent after parent after parent. Discipline problems, self-confidence problems, fear of making decisions. It was absolutely ubiquitous. For those of you who didn't take Latin, that means everywhere. So my first book was geared toward that, talking about how the notion of psychological correctness has done a lot of damage to parents. Overthinking, overanalyzing, overtalking, overnegotiating, overanalyzing, and underenjoying. It was pervasive. I wrote the book, and I had never even written so much as an article. The only thing I'd really written was my dissertation, my PhD dissertation. Sent it off with high hopes. Everybody telling me, no chance. Sent it to a bunch of New York publishers. Yeah, right. They're going to publish a book from some guy who's never so much as even written an article, and he's a psychologist in a mental health center in a small town in Ohio. Yeah, that's not exactly who they pick. Best I can figure out is that book struck a nerve with the acquisitions editors at a big publisher called Prentice Hall. Prentice Hall was known for their publishing of academic books. Very, very big supplier of books to school systems. So, I couldn't believe it. The advantage of being in this business as long as I have is you can personally see trends, societal trends, generational trends. So, at one end, back in my early days as a shrink, when I was a young shrink, a shrinkling, if you will, I saw parents undercut, fearful, second-guessing, because they just wanted to be psychologically correct and do it all so well, according to the experts' notions and ideas, which, by the way, the experts don't agree, they're all over the map. And now what I've noticed, and it came to me today, as I've seen so many parents in this situation, parents of adult children. What I'm seeing is that the kids who are now raised, a percentage of them, and I believe it has to be a percentage higher than ever before, are turning on their parents. Their parents are the source of their problem. The way they were raised set them on a trajectory for their struggles in life. And then it hit me. Not only did psychological correctness upend a lot of very solid, confident parenting when it first came on the scene, now it is continuing to do so with the adults who were raised when psychological correctness came on the scene, because they're turning on their parents and saying, "You didn't do it right. Your parenting was deficient. It wasn't psychologically proper." That just hit me today. But it's generational. At one end, you had the parents trying to be psychologically correct, and then a generation or two later, you got the grown kids saying you weren't psychologically correct. And you're to blame for how I'm running my life now. You're the blame for the way you raised me. And in so many cases, the parents didn't do anything wrong. It's the kids deciding they did. If the parents did anything wrong, it was that they were human. With all of our faults and failings, with all of our having to make judgments that sometimes didn't work out. If you're worried about being human, this whole child-rearing thing's going to mess you up. Because you can always go, did I do wrong? What did I do wrong? How did I screw it up? I thought I was doing good. And look, the kids are telling me how wrong I was. The kids are telling me I did this to them and I did that to them. What is going on? So psychological correctness has burned more than one generation. 877-57 equal is the number to call to get on the program. I would be delighted to speak with you.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
Are you paying high prices with a traditional health insurance company that pays for things that violate your conscience? There's an alternative available. Solidarity HealthShare is a community of faithful individuals and families that never share into immoral medical services, all while saving you money with prices starting as low as $85 per month for singles and $512 for families. Never fund another abortion with your healthcare dollars. Call 844-313-4999 to learn more.
Hi, everybody. Dr. Ray Granny, host of The Doctor Is In. Ave Maria Radio has been putting out fabulous Catholic teaching, but the equipment we've got is aged, like me, needs a lot of help. Some of the stuff is just hard to replace anymore. If you go to AveMariaRadio.net, please, for a donation for the equipment to reach much farther. You're not just donating, you're broadcasting hope.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
I just want to say that those of you who patiently wait on the line for the program, I thank you. I thank you for your patience. I'm going to get to you. That's a commitment. Samantha was on the line yesterday at the end of the program, following through with a promise we make that if you're on the line, indeed, you call back your first op. Now, we talked to Samantha a little bit. And I can summarize what we talked about, and Samantha is there. And she could tell me I'm wrong, but if she does, Andrew, simply disconnect her. Samantha called in because she has, I believe, a brother and a sister-in-law who are raising their little 8-year-old in a very loose sort of way. And, as you would expect, the kid's getting pretty bratty. This most recent incident took place when the 8-year-old daughter was really snotty and nasty with Samantha's 7-year-old daughter. Samantha stepped in, and she not only corrected the girl, but she grabbed her arm and led her away. Well, of course, not a surprise. The parents did not, like parents used to do a couple, three generations ago, said, yes, you're doing something wrong. Any parent wants to discipline you, I'm all for that. Not anymore. Not anymore. And especially those parents who are loose in their parenting, raising very unpleasant human beings. Samantha committed almost an unforgivable sin. Samantha, you there?
I am here, yes.
Couple of things, my dear. Now, you said you went on a vacation with them, and of course that meant
yes.
There was a lot of contact time between that little girl and your daughter. And there's no doubt if that little girl's being raised brattily, she's going to be bratty with other people. You're going to have to keep an eye on her when she's around and not correct her, but simply save your daughter. Go in and grab your daughter and say, hey, honey, come on. You guys are not getting along. Now, I know you don't want to hear that. I know you're thinking, wait a minute. It's not my daughter not getting along. It's that little brat. I got that. But that's probably the least confrontational way to do it. You go in and say, well, honey, you guys aren't playing right. So you come with me. That's what I would do. Now, I know you had some more to say about that. So go ahead, Sam.
Well, I actually do really like that advice because my issue was that I guess essentially after the situation happened, we were told that nobody is allowed to discipline their kid except them, even though they don't actually discipline their child. So I do actually like that advice of just remove my own child from the situation instead of doing anything with. I guess what I wanted more clarification on was moving forward, because now I guess they don't want to see us anymore, which I'm not really necessarily upset about.
Well, you know, it's interesting.
Yeah, so they need a break from us, yeah.
Okay. If that's all it took for them to sever the relationship, however temporarily, then I got to believe there are a lot more differences in the way you both live your lives and that they are judgmental toward you about the way you live yours.
Yeah, that's a correct assumption, yes.
So that was more or less just the final movement. That in their opinion, you stepped over. You know, Samantha, we have tolerated you up to this point. We have. And now you go do this to our cherub who does little wrong. That's enough. That's it. Had enough. I think the question becomes for you, how much do you want to reconcile with your brother and his wife?
Well, it's actually my husband's. It's my husband's brother.
Oh, so it's brother-in-law, sister-in-law.
Yes.
Does your husband see it the same way?
I mean, he doesn't seem too concerned about it at the moment. I mean, he kind of feels, you know, eventually, you know, maybe they'll come around. It's more that my husband already has, that this could be a whole other thing I call about, but he already has an estranged sister that he doesn't, that essentially removed herself from the family.
Jeez.
And so he was pretty close with his brother, and now there's this whole thing with him, and so now those are his only two siblings.
Well, so go to him. Sam, go to him and say, what do you want me to do? I am willing to apologize to them. I am willing to say, I should not have done that, and please forgive me, I'm sorry. And it won't happen again. If he says, you don't have to do that, I say, yeah, I know I don't. But if I do, would that be better for you? See what he says.
Okay. Yeah, he definitely does not think that I don't think he doesn't want me to apologize, but I guess I don't know.
So what?
Sure, I guess I could ask him
what
he thinks about that.
You know, unfortunately, a lot of times we have to apologize for things we didn't do wrong. If it comes down to the other person saying, I think you did wrong, and you're thinking to yourself, no, I didn't, and I'm not going to apologize for it because I didn't do anything wrong. Well, if that damages a relationship that is important in somebody's life, And I don't think there's any problem with simply saying, I'm sorry for that. Because you're not being insincere. You're just saying, okay, I recognize you thought I did something wrong, so I will apologize for that. That's what you're doing. I think it takes a lot of strength to do that. Because your attitude is, so what? Okay, so I'm apologizing for something I didn't do wrong. So what?
Yeah.
If it's reconciling, then that's fine. Here's the other problem, Sam, and I sort of touched on this yesterday. It's going to get uglier.
Yeah.
It is. This little girl is going to be 12, 13, yeah. 14. She's going to have a cell phone by the time she's 10, and they're going to wonder, what happened?
Yeah.
Why is she so unhappy with life? Why does she have so many anxieties? Why is she so difficult? Back in my office is filled with that.
Yeah.
They don't connect the dots. I'm raising a self-centered human being with weak discipline, and then when they become really unpleasant human beings, I wonder, what happened? Yeah, I know. That's what I would
do. Yeah, right now she's 8, so we have talked about that. We're kind of scared of how she's going to be when she's...
Well, the one thing you're going to have to deal with, I think, is this, and I'll let you go after this. One thing you're going to have to deal with, at some point, she's going to be a lot more worldly than your daughter. And then, it's not going to be so much a matter of she's a brat with my daughter. It's going to be she introduces things to my daughter that I don't really want my daughter introduced to at age 10 or 11.
Yeah, no, you're definitely right.
That's going to be something I think you're going to have to deal with at some point.
Yeah, no, I have thought about that. So maybe it's not a big, the end of the world in any way if they don't have a relationship, because I have thought of that.
Yeah. Alrighty, my dear. Thank you for calling back. Appreciate that.
Yeah, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Bye. This, and again, I'm going to get your calls. I know you're there, Carl and Julie. Because I don't want to grab you now. I got just like a minute and a half before the hard break. This is a very common family scenario where a brother or sister or someone that you have reasonable contact with is raising their kids very differently. Maybe there's no religious involvement, or maybe there's worldliness on the part of the child. They've been exposed to all kinds of stuff well before their years, or well before anyone's years for that matter. They're pretty much freedom technologically, and they've seen a lot of stuff, and they're sexually much more worldly for their young years than your child. And now this makes you make a lot of judgments. Are you going to let her go over there for a sleepover? Probably not. So how are you gonna dodge it? I've oftentimes invited parents to say, "Well, we get so little family time that we really guard our family time, and that's a night that's just we want to spend at home as a family." Do that, or you may have to just keep a very close eye and ear on the situation. They don't go up in the bedroom and play together. They don't go down in the family room and play together or talk together or whatever, because I've seen so many parents have an 8, 9, 10-year-old see things through the smartphone that the 11-year-old cousin has that shocks them and destroys them and shakes them up. Unfortunately, that now is a reality of the divergence of the way people are raising kids now. So if you're not going with the pace of the culture, but relatives around you are, you're going to have to come up with some strategies to keep your child innocent longer. 877-573-7825. Dr. Ray here. Thank you so much. I appreciate the company. Agarendi, an ultra-sensitive post-zeros person connecting, sharing, emoting, androgen-American. Get to your calls. I got some announcements to make later, but one quick announcement I want to make now, good Lord permitting. I'm looking forward to going to Houston and Dean Martin coming back to Houston this Saturday. The Summer Speaker Series, Guadalupe Radio Network, the Houston affiliate. We will be at the Lone Star Air Force Museum. Nice place. I saw some pictures there. Some neat. Well, the stealth bombers there. Actually, there's about 80 stealth bombers there, but you couldn't see them. So they're all over the place, and they're not visible. But if you'd like to be part of it, I'd love to see you. Go to grnonline.com, and you can sign up. Still plenty of time. Good meal, too. Nice meal. My wife is coming with me. Yeah, my son is in Houston. Well, he's in, what's the name of that place? Just Palisades. I think it's a suburb of Houston or something. And he's there, just ranked out of the Army at Fort Hood. So he's there. We're going to see him. And then going to visit with the sweet folks in the summer series. All right. Carl is dealing with insincere people. Hi, Carl.
Hi, Dr. Ray. My question is, how do you handle yourself when the parents, the people that run where I live, they're not all insincere and they have different agendas that aren't constructive or safe for me. I feel that I pay attention and worship at the Holy Mother Church and take Pope Leo the 13th as a father. He's the Pontifex Maximus of Rome. So how do I handle myself?
Well, what kinds of things are these folks saying and doing?
Well, it's very subliminal.
Can you give me an example?
Like, it's a fight just to get towels for my shower, and a beach towel that I used disappeared, and my scissors are gone, and they deflated a donut that you sit on. Those are two or three or four examples.
Carl, do you live with other people? You live in a group home setting?
Yes.
Okay.
And I keep my door locked.
So you think that the folks around you target you because of your faith?
Of who I am, what makes me up. Yes, faith's a huge part of it. I'm not evangelizing, hitting other people's beliefs, core values.
Are the supervisors aware of this, where you are?
They're the problem. A few of them are.
Have they done anything to you that goes beyond inconvenience?
Subliminal.
So you're saying very subtle stuff.
Yes.
And how long
may lead to something bigger?
How long has it been going on?
From me.
Carl, how long has it been going on?
Since April.
What was it about April that this started?
Well, I've got to watch what I eat. I had a salad that didn't agree with me.
Carl, do you see a psychiatrist?
Oh, I've seen, yes.
And,
yes.
And are you currently seeing a psychiatrist?
Yes. And I've been adjudicated normal.
Okay. Thanks. Do you have a diagnosis, my friend, that you wish to share?
Yes, but I don't wish to share it.
Okay.
That is not me. That doesn't
gotcha.
Define me.
Okay. What I would suggest is this. Your next appointment with your psychiatrist, you tell the psychiatrist, male or female, about this. You say, here's what I see happening.
Mm-hmm.
This is, and be very specific with your psychiatrist. Say, I'm picking up subtle cues from others that are persecutory. I think they're persecuting me for their own motives. So let the psychiatrist know that and see what they will say or do about it. Will you do that? Will you feel funny by sharing those perceptions?
No, persecuting for what? For their own objectives.
Well, for whatever you believe, and I would offer to the psychiatrist what it is that you think their motive is. That why would they be doing this to me? And it started, you tell the psychiatrist, it started in April with something you ate. Be specific about that. Psychiatrist needs to know that. That's my suggestion for you, my friend.
Okay, well, it's good advice.
All right, sir. You take good care. Bye now. I got Julie, and Julie relates. I don't know if she heard my opening monologue, but she relates to something I said where the many, many more of the younger generation are writing parents off. And as part of the write-off is abandonment with the privilege to see the grandchildren. And this most commonly happens, I can't put a percentage on it, but it's a high percentage, between mother-in-law and daughter-in-law, which is the case with Julie. Hi, Julie.
Hi.
Well, what did you do that your daughter-in-law is convinced you're the devil?
Well, those are my words, but...
I know, I'm quoting you.
Very, very tedious, silly little things. And everything that was presented at me, I apologized for. I said, I'm sorry, there must have been misunderstanding. I begged for forgiveness, apologized, and then this has been going on for 4 years now. Then we meet for peace again. Same things are brought up. You know, then there's a new goal post that I surpassed that I didn't know about. There'll be something new that I was doing wrong that I didn't know I was doing wrong. And it just, I got to the point where I'm just like, I knew I couldn't win. I fought so hard and for so long because I had such a close relationship with my granddaughter.
Stay right there, Julie. That music means we can't talk for more than 15 seconds left. So you stay right there, and I'll pick you up as soon as our break is over. This is Dr. A, 877-57-EQUAL is the number. Dr. Ray Grandy, program Doctors in Monday through Friday, 1 o'clock Eastern Time, co-production EWTN, Global Catholic Radio Network, and Ave Maria Radio Communications. Today with my call screamer and producer man, Andrew Krucek, there at the Ave Maria Radio Studios. I'm speaking to Julie. Last 4 years, she's trying to measure exactly how she has upset her daughter-in-law. Mother-in-law, daughter-in-law is a heavy point of friction, unfortunately, in these situations. And now the son seems to have thrown his lot, of course, in with his wife. And Julie right now doesn't get to see the grandkids at all. She says she's apologized, but she keeps reoffending, at least according to the daughter-in-law's opinion. Still there, Julie?
Yes, I am.
You kind of shocked at your son, who so quickly who has gone along with his wife's idea of, I don't want your mother around us?
It hurts. It definitely hurts. I know he's a good man, and he just wants to do what's right. So I pray for him and his family. I mean, that's what I do. I pray. I guess part of me feels like maybe that's why I'm in this, is just to pray for them. But it's hard, because I want to be, you know, that grandma. And I get to, my first husband died. And so I'm remarried, and my husband now has a daughter that he is estranged from as well. We have 10 grandkids between the two of us, and I get to see three. And parents lived in Colorado, and I didn't have that interaction that I wanted my kids to. So I always wanted to be that grandma, and I just, thank God I get to do it with three of them.
Julie, do not mishear me. Unfortunately, I see so, so very much of this. This is now a phenomenon that is pervasive in our culture, that so many of these adult children are saying, I don't want my mother around. I don't want my dad around. I don't want my parents around. I just don't want them around. I don't like the way they are. I don't like the way they say. And oftentimes what happens is you've got this very hypersensitive, prickly, daughter-in-law, son-in-law, sometimes even daughter-son, to anything that the parent could say that can be misinterpreted. And half the time, I'm reading between your lines, that you don't even know what you said, but you found out later. So what? Oh, man, she took that all wrong. All right, I'll apologize. But then what happens is, she gets to the point where she thinks, yeah, you'll apologize, but you'll just do it again. And there seems to be no tolerance or insight on their part that says, okay, I may not like what she says, what my mother-in-law says, what my mom says, but that's his mom, and these are her grandkids, and we can tolerate this. Now, Julie, I'm going to ask a question here. And I suspect the answer I'm going to get, but if I get the answer I don't think I'm going to get, I'm going to be even more upset. Has your daughter-in-law and son pretty much drifted away from the faith?
Yes.
Okay. So their view of it is, we really have no obligation to you. You don't have to honor.
Oh, I even got asked where it says in the Bible where Jesus had grandparents.
Okay. Well, they're shooting from the hip and flailing away. Yeah, I know. You could cite for them the fourth commandment, but that'll just make them mad. So, I would say this, dear. First of all, whatever you said or did, out of clumsiness, out of awkwardness, out of not realizing how your daughter-in-law is seemingly so capable of running the wrong direction with stuff that you say. You didn't realize it. Maybe you realize it now.
Mm-hmm.
And you've apologized. If, in fact, it somewhat smooths over, here's my suggestion. You give no opinion, no advice, no comments about anything in their lives, in their politics, in their religion, in their child rearing, not one stinking word. You ask about how things are going for them, how your little granddaughter's doing in school. You ask about the most benign things, because your goal is not to say stuff that your daughter-in-law can run with and say, you know, this is an example of your mother. This is what she's like. Now, one more thing. I know you're probably hurt that your son is going along with this. In therapy, I see a lot of one spouse going along with the other spouse, usually an in-law, who says, no, I don't want your mother or your father or both in my life. And they go along with it. And one of the reasons they go along with it is that they have to live with that person.
That mm-hmm. if they go along to get along.
Yes. If they didn't do it, the marriage, which is probably rocky already, would get even rockier. So they choose the lesser of two struggles,
mm-hmm.
which is, okay, I'm going to go along with her. I'm not going to fight her. She seems to be pretty adamant. She's hostile toward my mom. All right. Okay, I'll flow. Now, I don't know how long he'll do that, and maybe he'll find some way to contact you by himself. But that's often what I see here, Julie. So, mm-hmm. like you say, don't be too quick to say, even my own son has turned on me, because there's a good chance he doesn't want to do this, but he feels compelled.
Yeah. I get that. I do pray for him to give, to have strength to be the man God wants him to be. And I've never wished them to be divorced. I just pray for their marriage.
Okay. And you pray, and you enjoy those other three that you get to see. There you go. You can be a grandma with those three. God bless you, Julie. Thanks for the call. This is Dr. Ray taking another break. My grandfather would not believe this. He didn't get four breaks all day long when he used to say to me, Raymond, I dug the ditches when I came into this country. $1.25 a day. That's what he said.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
The Heart of the Interior Life with Elizabeth Jangle.
In the ninth rule of St. Ignatius of Loyola's teaching on the discernment of spirits, St. Ignatius teaches us there are three principal causes for why we experience spiritual desolation. St. Ignatius taught that the first is because we are tepid, slothful, or negligent in our spiritual exercises, and so through our faults, spiritual consolation withdraws from us. If we are experiencing spiritual desolation, reviewing our spiritual practices may reveal to us an aspect of our spiritual life in need of change, in need of conversion. We may ask ourselves, is there an aspect of my spiritual life that I have been negligent in attending to? Father Timothy Gallagher writes, the spiritual desolation has alerted them to a need for conversion in that area of their spiritual exercises. And having made the appropriate changes, they are once more solidly set on the path of spiritual progress.
For more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.
This program brought to you in part by Ave Maria Florida, a big kind of small town where golf carts take you everywhere and there's always something fun around the corner. Discover championship golf, resort-style amenities, and a town center full of shopping and dining. With Ave Maria University and Ave Maria Catholic Church at its heart, it's a community full of connection and charm. More than 25 model homes are available for viewing. More information can be found at AveMaria.com. That's AveMaria.com.
Quick announcement. Love to have you. August 19th and 20th in Buffalo, New York, WNED. We will be taping four episodes of Living Right with Dr. Ray. Audience is a critical part. We'd love to have you there. I see your face on EWTN. The 19th, Father Larry Richards will be there the whole time. Both shows, both tapings, 5 and I believe 7:15 are the times. If you go to the Station of the Cross, one big long word. You can sign up. One show, two shows, three shows, four shows. Sounds like a Dr. Seuss thing. Love to have you. Last time I was in Buffalo, we brought the show. And they just packed the audience. So we're hoping it happens again. Make the announcements. Station of the Cross. Forgive me. I don't know if it's the Station of the Cross or Station of the Cross. I think it's Station of the Cross. .com. One big long word. Sign up. And we'd love to have you there. All right, let's go to Marcus, patiently waiting from Columbus, Ohio, St. Gabriel Radio. Hi, Marcus.
Hey, Dr. A. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure, sir. What's going on?
So I know we're basically at the end of the program here, or at least I think we are, so I'll try and be super succinct. I'm going to have to skip a lot of important stuff, but that's okay.
You can call back.
Yeah, okay. I might do that. So the long and short of it basically is that my parents have had a very tumultuous, and that's putting it lightly, relationship for the last 25 years that they've been married. As a matter of fact, to be honest with you, it's the worst marriage I've ever seen. It's very bad. My point is, over all those years, and especially the last year in particular, it's driven my dad to basically become like suicidal. And so he's been dealing with suicidal ideation, and particularly in a very strong way for the last year. Well, I'm usually the one that talks him down from the edge when he gets there, but obviously just talking him down every time isn't very sustainable. And so, he's going to therapy and stuff, but nothing's getting any better. But the point is, I went over to their house last week to go pick my brother up. I was going to bring him over to my house. We were going to hang out. As I show up, my parents are fighting, and after being inside for about 5 minutes, my dad rushes in, says, I'm done, I'm going to go kill myself, all this stuff. And then he, rushes out to the car and peels off. Well, this time I'm so convinced that he's actually serious and he's actually going to do it that I end up calling the cops to try and, because I don't even know where he's going. He's left, right? So I call the police, and he's got some trauma, I guess, with, his family calling the police on him when he was younger, like unjustly, I guess, and things like that. So all that's to say, once he found out that I called the cops, he freaked out on me. He said I'm a betrayer. He said I'm not his son anymore. He banned me from the house, banned me from the family, even threatened my family, and all kinds of crazy stuff. So now it's at the point where he's cut me off, and honestly, I don't even want a relationship with him until he apologizes for threatening my family and all that. So I just wanted to lay that at your feet and see what you can do with that.
I wrote a book called How to Get Along with Almost Everybody, and that's why the almost is in there. Very clear, Marcus, he just flat out says, get out of my life. And he took something that you did with all good intentions, and he twisted it all over the place, and took it personal, and became incensed. Now, we don't know why he overreacted like that. My guess would be that he's probably thinking, all you people think I'm just messed up. Oh, I'm sick of you people wondering about my mental health. Why don't you worry about your own for a change? Whatever. I suspect that's what was going on. So at this point, I don't think, I'm not a theologian or a priest, but I don't think the Lord would expect you to push on this. He said, get away. I want nothing more to do with you. Now, the only place where I might offer a twist on this is that I wouldn't expect him to apologize for the threats. That's not going to happen. In his mind, look, you know your father, Marcus. He hasn't been put together for years, right? For years.
Yeah.
This is no surprise. This is no surprise that he can do something like this. It's not a shock at all. So for him to think I did something wrong and I apologize is not likely to happen. So if he's going to come back into your life, I wouldn't put any conditions on it. I would just simply say, okay, Dad, welcome back, and I will try to get along with you as best I can, recognizing that he's just one tough guy to get along with, and given his own struggles with his emotional development. He's seen a therapist. Okay. So, in essence, his suicidal threats, in many respects, are at the therapist's feet. So, I if you're asking me for my opinion, and would I think that you have some duty to try to reconnect with your dad, I don't think so.
Okay.
His reaction was so intense, so over the top, so nasty, that he more or less said, get away from me, Marcus. You're not my son anymore. Okay? Until he rethinks that, I'm not sure you can do anything.
Yeah, that makes sense to me. That's how I guess that's how I've been feeling about it.
I mean, there's sometimes when people just are so dangerous and difficult and completely unreachable that you're forced to say, okay, I love you, I'll pray for you, but to have a relationship with it doesn't look likely.
Yeah.
I don't think our Lord says you have to have a relationship with everybody. I think, as St. Paul says, as far as it is possible for you, get along with others. So even St. Paul put an almost in his book. He's stealing my material.
All right,
Marcus. Thanks for your patience on this.
Yeah, thank you.
Take care, sir. This is Dr. Ray. A few seconds left in the program. As always, I get a better education than I give. That's for sure. I learn so much about people. I think how they think, how they look at stuff. And it goes into the hopper. And it becomes another point of interest as I weave my way through the human condition. Thank you so much for joining me, and I appreciate so much your company. Andrew Krucek, you too, son. Walk with God. That's the only walk you got on this earth that isn't going to end. Walk with God.
For information on Dr. Ray's presentations, books, and CDs, visit drray.com and follow him on Facebook and Instagram. The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.